Okay, good to be back in Tyler, Texas, and things are different for me now. I no longer work for the government. I've been off for 3 weeks. I'm retired, and I could say I'm now on a mission from God completely, as the Blues Brothers would say. So I'm working for the church now, and happy to be doing that. I still got my energy, and I'll use that as long as I can for the church and Jesus Christ and what He has us wanting to do in this world. So good to be down here with y'all. Had some meetings with this week with the church folks this week. Also got to understand some of the computer systems we're using here now. And we talked about what my tasks will be, my role in the church now. And I'm going to be doing everything I was doing before, but I got a lot of other things that I'll be doing also, and I'm happy to be doing that. So, again, good to be here, and nice to see you all. I'm going to get into a discussion today about a term that you probably hear in the culture today, active shooter. There's an active shooter out there. And one of my last jobs at the agency I was working at, we were training the new people coming into our agency, and one of the things we trained them in was what to do in case of an active shooter. It's so ubiquitous within society today, at least within United States society, that we need to train people on what they need to do if there's an active shooter, because it's happening everywhere. It's not just happening in schools anymore. It's not just happening in a post office anymore. It's not just happening at a place of work. And we've had all those circumstances before. It's happening everywhere these days, folks. And I've got a little article. Maybe you can take a look at it later. I live up near Washington, D.C. And this kind of hit me when I saw it. It shows a picture of the 423 people in the United States who've died from an active shooter since 2012, since the Sandy Hook incident up in Connecticut. And when you see these pictures, I'm just gonna, you know, hold it up for everybody to see front and back. There are little excerpts about all the incidents inside of here since 1966, active shooter incidents in the United States since 1966. But when you see these faces, many of them are young faces, and you realize these people were not ready to die yet. You know, it really hits you. It really hits you. And the phrase that we used in this little module that we taught people was run, hide, or fight. Run, hide, fight. You know, you want to remember something that's easy to remember. And the idea was that you don't run first, hide second, and fight third, but you do any one of those three things depending upon what the situation is, where the active shooter is. So if the active shooter was in the room with you and you can't escape, if you can't run that way, there's no way out, you got to fight because that's all you got. And we've noticed in some of the recent incidents, a couple people in classrooms have attacked that active shooter to stop him. Some of them have lost their lives doing that, but it was able to neutralize that shooter in those situations. If you can hide, you gotta hide. If you can run, run and get out of there. So again, I'm gonna throw this information your way. Run, hide, fight. That's easy to remember. Run, hide, fight. Keep that in your mind if you're ever in a situation like that. God forbid that we ever will be in a situation like that. But folks, we're in a battle. There's a war being waged out here. We hear the song, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War. And I think the fella, whoever wrote that song, knew their Bible. They understood that we're all in spiritual warfare. It might not be physical. We aren't always aware that it's happening, but it is happening each and every day. We're coming up against resistance. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. And you know who we're in a battle with. who we're in a fight with. And I might have another phrase for you at the end of the sermon, rather than run, hide, fight. Use that on the physical plane, but I'm going to have another three-word thing for you at the end of this sermon to remember. And I'll tell it to you now, and then I'll tell it to you again. That helps you remember it. But it's going to be pray, meditate, and wrestle, okay? And I use that word wrestle because I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 to really get started here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Very familiar scripture, I hope. Let me begin in verse 10. We should know about this one because of our program, The Armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Don't forget who's backing you up, okay? The power of God. If you've got God's Holy Spirit, it is with you, folks. Don't ever forget that. Put on the full armor of God. Get that language there. Put on the armor, okay? Why do they say armor? Because back then they put on armor when they went into battle, folks, into those physical battles. So they're giving you that mindset that you are in a battle, that it's going to be rough, it's going to be tough. You got to be ready for this. Continuing in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I like that word. The devil's schemes. He's diabolical. He's wicked. He's got schemes. He's got ideas. And when you look at some of these examples of these active shooters, take the example of the Las Vegas active shooter. The most mass casualties in an active shooter incident in the United States. 58 people were killed. Get this, 422 had a bullet hit them and were injured. Get that number in your head for a moment. 422 people were hit by a bullet. 58 people were killed. He goes up into a high-rise hotel, and he knows there's going to be a country music concert down below in the dark. He has all kinds of weapons available to him. He breaks the window, and he just starts shooting into the crowd for 11 minutes. Just imagine that in your mind for a moment. You know, when you think of somebody going up into a hotel over a field where there's going to be a concert, that never entered my mind that someone would think of doing something like that. That is wickedness to the extreme. The schemes of the devil, folks. He's diabolical. He's out to get us and this world. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers, get those words, of this dark world. This dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Understand these words, schemes, darkness, power over this world, authority over this world, the spiritual forces of evil. Some translations will use the word wickedness. And we have here that it's a struggle, it says in my NIV. Other translations actually use the word wrestle. And if you look at the Greek, wrestle's a better word here. And has anybody wrestled out here in school? Or just wrestled out in the street with somebody for a few minutes? Let me tell you, I did a little wrestling, and you get tired out very quick when you've got another body weighing as much as you on you, trying to move you as you try to move them. It really wears you down, and it wears you down quickly. And look at the word that's used here. We're wrestling against these schemes, against this power of wickedness in the world today. When you really get a handle on that language there, it helps you understand why this is a fight. This is a terrible fight that we're in, but it's not a physical fight. It can be at times, but this fight is occurring up here, folks. It's occurring between your ears because that's where your spirit resides. That's where God connects with you, but that's also where this other power can connect with you. And I'm not here to tell you I know all the reasons why all of these incidents are occurring, but I've got some ideas about it, and I'm going to use some scripture to back up my ideas, but I don't have an answer to all of the wickedness in the world today. You know, some of the reasons why people do crazy things are biological. Some of them could be for other reasons, but I'll tell you what, folks, I believe there's a wicked power in the world that influences the mind of men. And if you aren't connected to the greater power, that wicked power can do some damage up here to you and control you in various ways. Let's talk a little bit about this. And what I want to do, I'm going to give you a few excerpts of some of these active shooting incidents over the year. And as I give you this information, just remember there are hundreds of other examples. I'm picking these ones out because they have some general connections to each other and to many of the other incidents that have happened and that I've done some research on over the last few weeks. So let's begin here in Texas in 1966. You're probably all familiar with this. Charles Whitman went up into the Texas Tower at the University of Texas campus, and he killed 17 people and wounded 30 people. He felt that there was an overwhelming violent impulse within him. And he talked about this weeks before he did what he did. He wanted the people to look at his brain after he was killed at the top of the tower by someone who was on the street and went up there with a police officer, and they were able to kill this man. So what they found was there was a small tumor pushing against the amygdala, which was in his brain. Now, the amygdala is the seat of your emotional memory in the brain. And you'll read a lot of good books about emotional intelligence today. A really good one by Daniel Goleman, who kind of started the phrase emotional intelligence. And you'll read about the amygdala and the power of the amygdala to bring up past emotions. Whatever you've experienced in the past, when you experience something in the present, it could relate to some of that emotion you've got up here in your brain of the past. There might be something that kind of sets you off, like a tripwire. They call it the tripwire of the brain. And something you may have experienced that was emotionally troubling at some time in your life, you may see something in your present that doesn't exactly relate to that thing in the past, but there's some little connection that kind of trips that emotion in the amygdala to have you react. Kind of like when you're cut off in traffic and many of us get a little angry at times. Once we think about it a little bit, we let that neocortex take over, which is the logical part of the brain. And that calms us down. We want that neocortex to take over. A little tool you can use is if you're writing something or you're speaking at times, that gets the neocortex re-involved with the brain that can kind of temper those emotions we may have. So again, it looked like this fella had a problem there. This tumor was pushing up against his amygdala, which may have set him off. But keep in mind that this is brain related, okay, where that spirit of man resides. Let me move 10 years into the future to February the 14th, 1977 in New Rochelle, New York. And here's another theme of some of these activities. A Nazi-obsessed bodybuilder who worked for a moving company was relieved of duty, and 2 weeks later he came back to this company and shot things up, killing 5 people and injuring 4. His name was Fred Cowan. This occurred in 1977. I'm going to jump to the 1980s. Again, I'm passing over a number of other incidents over the years. You may have remembered this one in San Diego, California. A man who just lost his job took his family to an amusement park, came home and told his wife, "I'm going to go out and shoot some humans right now." And he went to a McDonald's in San Diego, and he killed 20-some people there, 21 to be exact. He injured 19. Over the years of his existence, some people thought he had some mental illness of some type. So again, we're going back to the brain in some way here that may have led to this outburst by this individual. Let's move to the 1990s now, and we're going to go to Columbine, Colorado. And you guys all know the story there. This starts the school shooting incidents, the Columbine massacre, 13 killed, 24 injured. And we see here another thing that we can link to other shootings, young men, teenagers. In many of these shootings, many of these school shootings, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with young men. Now, as I said, there were a number of people killed there and 24 were injured. And according to the motive here, they said that these two young men were looking to get vengeance against people that may have bullied them or they had issues with at this particular school. Let's go to the 2000s now. 2006, Goleta, California. A postal worker. This time it's a woman, okay, which doesn't happen too often. They said she had some psychological problems. She killed 7, and she killed herself. Now, what you're going to see in many of these active shooter incidents is the person is ready to die. Many times they kill themselves to end the incident before the police do it. But these folks have planned this out. They've thought about it. That's why when people describe their look, their manner, they say the active shooter was calm. The active shooter was not emotional. And what the research tells us, the reason they're not emotional, the reason they're calm, is because they've been thinking about this for a long time. They've been planning this for a long time. They've been playing in this in their head for a long time. And that's why they're so calm. The first time I got up to speak, folks, I was a little bit nervous, okay? But doing it over and over and over again, even if you just do that in your mind visually over and over and over again, you can calm yourself down. But when you think of these incidents, that calmness that's there when you're doing this, maybe there's something else active also. But let me continue because I want you to see some of these linkages between all of these incidents. I'm going to move forward into the last 9 years or so now and make you aware of some of these major incidents. 2010, on June 6th, Hialeah, Florida, an unemployed individual, upset because his wife has left him, goes to the restaurant she works in, shoots her and shoots 4 other people and kills them. 2011, in January, a Safeway parking lot, Tucson, Arizona. You probably remember Gabby Giffords, the congresswoman there. She was one of the people who was shot. She did not die, of course, but 6 others were killed. A 22-year-old man did this. Again, he had psychiatric problems. 2012, 1 year later, July 20th, movie theater, Aurora, Colorado. You probably remember this one. James Holmes goes to see the latest Batman movie, goes up in front of the crowd, and just begins to rake the crowd with automatic weapons fire. Here he kills 12 people, injures 58, and again, he had some psychiatric issues. And interestingly enough, there was some information about him where he said he saw shadows when he was young. Okay, and the reason I mention that is in some of these stories I've read about, these people see some interesting things in their life, similar to the shadow figures that this individual saw. And if you've ever seen the pictures of these individuals, you know, they're plastered on the TV screens at times or on the internet. If you go and look at Mr. Holmes's face in court, there seems to be a lost look there, like a totally detached look. And you saw that maybe in the Walmart shooter here in Texas this year. I remember a number of pictures of him, just this lost look in their face, totally vacant stare there. And you see that often with some of these pictures. Continuing into 2013. And again, I hate to give you all of this, but I want us to have a reality check here about the fact you're in a war. There's a war going on spiritually. And he's got a lot of people out there who are in line with him. He wants you even more than them. I want you to get that today. That if you've got the mindset of a soldier, and what's the mindset of a soldier? That if you go to war, folks, and you're out in the battlefield, and you're in a war location, your mind is always concerned about that sound, about what's over here, what's over there. You're on guard all the time. All the time. Are you on guard all the time, spiritually, up here? I lose focus from time to time, folks. Do you? And if you do, I want you to ramp it up. I want you to get ready, because it's not going to get better, folks. This world is going to get worse before Christ returns. Let's move on to 2013. September 16th, 2013. 12 killed by a government contractor at the Washington Navy Yard. This is close to home, okay? I work for the government. This is why they're teaching us active shooter. A guy walked into the Washington Navy Yard, a contractor who was a Navy reservist, and what he did was they check us when we come in. We got badges. We got to go through badge machines. Sometimes they'll check our bags. He took a bag in with a shotgun that was disassembled. He went into a bathroom, put it all together, walked out in the halls and started shooting people. He was killed by police. Let's go to 2014. Marysville High School in Washington State. A young man breaks up with his girlfriend. He then invites some of his closest friends, two of his cousins who went to the school, to come have lunch with him in the cafeteria. And what does he do? He then shoots his cousins, he shoots his friends, and here's why. He gave us a motive. He said, I wanted my crew with me on the other side. I wanted my crew with me on the other side. We know you're not aware on the other side, right? This guy thought there was awareness on the other side. Where does he get that mindset? Let's go to 2015. Church shooting, Charleston, South Carolina, white supremacist. And what you'll see in some of these incidents is some crazy ideas that have to do with religion or supremacy over somebody else, power over somebody else. You know, where do we see that in the Bible, folks? White supremacist kills 9 people in this church to start a race war. 2016, June 12th, Pulse Nightclub, Orlando, Florida. This individual has an allegiance to the Islamic State. He kills 49 people, stays on the phone with police to negotiate, keeping the police from coming into the place, and after talking, he kills some more people. That's why what police do today is they go right in. They go right in because you don't want to give these people any time. These people have already made up their mind as to what they're going to do. And that is the MO now of police departments around the country, is to go right to the source of the incident. Don't wait around. Don't wait for the SWAT team. We're going right in. That's why they say run, hide, fight. If you've got to fight, folks, if you're in a locked room, nobody else is around, and you got a guy with a gun in there, take anything available to you. Pick up a chair, throw it at him. Whatever you got, use it as a weapon. Because this is real now. It's happening everywhere. And you've got to build some knowledge about what you can do in a situation like this. Moving on from the Pulse nightclub. This guy, again, was affiliated, or said he was affiliated, with the Islamic State. Again, you think about this idea of this group, the Islamic State, and what they're all about. This guy takes on that false notion and false idea. And then we get to the biggest one ever. In October of 2017 in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Country Music Festival. I told you a little bit about that already. But you know what? This was an older man who was retired and actually had a lot of money, okay? So again, a lot of these incidents are younger men, but this was an older man who went and did this. And you know what they kept saying about this months after it happened? What was the motive? Why did he do this? He had enough money. You know, his life was okay. What led him to do this? They couldn't find any writings by this guy. They didn't find any manifestos on the internet about this guy. And he was the biggest killer of them all. And it was always, why? What was the motive? Why did he do this crazy thing? 2018, Stoneman Douglas High School. Once again, a young man, emotionally troubled. 2019, El Paso, Texas, 22 killed. Once again, a young man with a false ideology, okay, against immigration, okay? So what patterns do we see when we do the research? We see in these incidents some issue around emotions. Somebody left somebody. Somebody lost a girlfriend. Somebody was having family issues with somebody. There's a lot of that in these incidents when we look back on some of the reasoning as to why they did it. Other big reasons are mental, psychological problems within this individual's life over time. Another thing we see, a pattern we see, young adults, males usually, okay, 18 to 24, 18 to 30. Once again, the brain is not completely developed until your mid-20s. So you kind of can have some crazy thoughts up here as a young man or young woman, okay, teenagers, you know. All of that is going on as maybe something involved here. Again, the Dayton killer, I didn't mention him, also in 2019. His girlfriend said this. He talked about these dark animal-like shadows that tormented him at night. They said he suffered from psychosis. Psychosis is you're not sure what's real and what's not real. Your mind is not able to figure that out for you. So we see some people have that issue with them. Again, I'm not against guns, okay? If you own a gun, more power to you. If you do it legally, that's fantastic. But let me just explain this about the United States. 4.4% of the world population is United States population, yet the United States owns 42% of the guns in the world, okay? That's a lot. That's a lot. From 1966 to 2012, from 66 to 2012, out of all the mass shootings in the world, 31% were committed by United States citizens. Now, when we look at other places of the world, let's take China as an example to relate to what I just said about guns. The Chinese definitely control the guns in that country, okay? The government controls a lot of things in that country. From 2010 to 2012, you might remember there were a number of stabbings in China where people were going into schools and just stabbing students. For 3 years, there were a number of incidents like this in China. Think about that word schemes I gave you earlier. The devil's schemes, okay? He knows what weaknesses are out there. Okay, big gun society. I can use that. Okay, no guns in society. A knife will do, or a hammer, because that's what happened in China for about 3 years in a number of their schools, where once again, young males or males who've got some psychological problems or issues are running into schools and stabbing students instead of shooting them. Interesting that a different society, a different culture, can still manifest this same type of evil. The reason we talk about the U.S. is a gun can definitely do a lot more damage quickly than you can with a knife. No doubt about that. That is a fact. Moving on in looking at these similarities, another interesting thing about this is that the vulnerable are targeted. The vulnerable. You aren't expecting to be shot in a restaurant. You aren't expecting, well, today you may be, to be shot in a school or your workplace. There's this connection to vulnerable. If you think of all the school shootings and the Chinese stabbing incidents that we were talking about, don't ever forget that there's another power out there. Remember the story of Job and that back and forth dialogue between Satan and God about just don't do this, okay? But you can have power over Job's life. Now, one other thing I want to mention that's very interesting when you look at this. Many of these people kill themselves when they're done with it. Or they allow the police to kill them before it's over. So they have this mindset of destruction. Now, I want you to remember that because I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But I want to deal with this concept for a moment. Let me give you one scripture, and then we'll get into this a little bit deeper. But let's turn over to Luke, this mindset of destruction. In Luke chapter 8, and once again, I'm not here to tell you I understand all these incidents and believe that all these incidents are because of this or because of that. But I want to go to the Bible to see if I can make any sense of some of this. In Luke chapter 8, I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I was in John, so I'm going to Luke right now. Luke chapter 8 and 26. Let's read what it says here. Luke 8, 26. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. So let me ask you, gang, do you believe a demon can possess a man? Because there's a lot of people in today's society who don't believe that. Back at this time, folks, lots of people did believe this. Now, if you're a schemer, if you're a deceiver, and people don't believe in you, are you going to leave that alone? Satan's okay with people not believing in him because they're looking for all kinds of other reasons as to why these crazy things are happening. Let's read on. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. There's the power that's behind us, folks. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he broke his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Something else you see in a lot of these incidents. These people were loners. These people are away from society. They aren't mixing with everybody. Interesting that the demon seizes this man and moves him to solitary places. Verse 30, Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Now get this. a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them. He gave them permission. There's the power that's backing you, folks. Don't ever forget it. Verse 33, when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. The pigs drowned. The demons went into the pigs. There's a greater power over them. They know it. They went into the pigs, and what did they do with the pigs? They killed the pigs. What am I telling you about a lot of these incidents? What's the mindset? I'm a dead man walking. Kill me. I don't care. Suicide bombers for Muslim terrorist organizations. Kill me. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven if you kill me. I'm going to blow myself up to get there. Destroying the self. Where does that thinking come from? What does Satan know? He's a mighty, powerful, knowledgeable being. He knows what's coming. He knows what's coming. And he wants to take people with him. Destruction, suicide, killing, murder. That's what I'm seeing in my Bible here, folks. Let me give you a different example. In Micronesia, so let's go into the Pacific Ocean for a moment. And in the 1960s in Micronesia and some of these islands out there, suicide was almost non-existent. It was like suicide never happens out here in a beautiful island paradise like Hawaii, okay? Think about living out there, okay? But what happened was there is, in the 1980s, it begins, this great influx of suicidal young men on these Micronesian islands. Young men from 15 to 24, like a lot of the ages of these active shooters. What happens to these young men is one of the early incidents, a man has an argument with his father over something about cleaning the house or whatever it may be. He goes out and kills himself by hanging himself. And he writes a note to his father saying, okay, you're never going to have to worry about me anymore. I'm taking care of all the problems that I caused you. See you later. Basically, that's what he says in his suicide note. Again, think of that mindset there, the young mind, that emotions can really grab you when you're young, okay, because you haven't had the experiences that us older folks had where we realize we can get through this, okay? But who's the schemer? Who knows the weaknesses of mankind? What's he going to focus on? Wherever those weaknesses are. That's why you put on the full armor, folks. You get that armor going, folks. So in the 1980s, this guy kills himself. And from that point on, through the 1980s, there's an increase in suicides in Micronesia. Let me give you some statistics here. The U.S. suicide rate at this time was 22 per 100,000 for 15 to 24-year-old males. The same period in Micronesia, the suicide rate was 160 per 100,000. I want you to get that, because we got a lot of suicide in the United States. 22 per 100,000 for 15 to 24-year-olds. In Micronesia, during the same time frame, it was 160 per 100,000. They started doing research on this. They realized some of these kids were just doing it because all the other teens were doing it. Some of them didn't kill themselves and they survived. And they asked them, why were you doing it? Oh, Johnny down the street tried it. I just wanted to see what it felt like, you know. And they tried a couple times, some of them. This mindset, where's it coming from? Okay, did you ever think about this when you were a kid? Maybe some of you did. I don't know. But This thinking kind of just takes off like fire. You get what I'm saying? We've got all these active shooter incidents just in the last few years. The increase has been dramatic. It's like the idea is out there, and then it's easy for someone to know about that idea, be aware of that new idea, and just take it on in a time of weakness. the schemer is working. You see that with a lot of incidents like this, whether it's suicide or murder or any other wicked thing that people do to themselves or to each other. Now, I'm getting some of this information from a book called The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. And Gladwell was looking at how certain movements take over very quickly, or different ideas start and get going. You know, and he was looking at it on the bad side too, okay? And he had some research in there by a University of California at San Diego professor who did a lot of research on suicide in the United States between the 1940s and the 1960s. And this was some of his research. He would look at newspapers throughout the United States where on the front page of the newspaper there was a story of some actor or actress or famous person who died because of suicide. And here's what he did. After he saw that that story was on the front page, he looked at suicide rates within that city or town prior to that story getting on the front page, and then after that story had been on the front page. And you guessed it, what he found was that suicide rates jumped in all these towns and cities when there was a front page story about the incident. So this bad idea, people read their newspapers, gets into the minds of people, or if they didn't read the newspaper, you know, we all talk about the news, right? Hey, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? And you tell Johnny and Susie and everybody in the family what happened. And that idea percolates where? Where does that idea go? This is the battle, folks. It goes here. Here. And if you don't have that connection to the greater power, there's another power there, folks, trying to get in, trying to influence our minds. Not just our minds, us older folks, but definitely the minds of our younger folks whose brains haven't solidified yet. There's still a lot of things going on there to solidify before we call you an adult. We got you at a place where you're more mature to help you settle those emotions and those ideas that can be played with in a number of different ways. Interesting. This is interesting when you look at this type of thing. I'll tell you a quick story that relates to this. And this isn't something I want to admit, but I am. I went to a football game when I was a teenager. Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm sorry, Cowboys fans. And we won season tickets one year. And it was hard to get a Steeler ticket when they won all those Super Bowls when I was a teenager. And so me and my dad are at the game, and there's a bad call on the field. And you start to, 50,000 people in Three River Stadium, you start to hear a bad word being bandied out by a section of the audience, okay? And then you see that bad word begins to move from one area of the stands to another. It goes around the entire stadium, folks. I don't know if 50,000 were yelling it, but I got to admit I was yelling it too. I'm sorry to admit that, okay? But I was yelling that bad word also over this call. But I thought about that as I was leaving there that night, and I was like, wow, that was a weird experience. How that thought that just began probably with one person went around that entire stadium. You get what I'm saying here? I think that is one way Satan works, that he puts ideas out there into the air, the prince of the power of the air. It was in the air in that stadium, and it just went around to most of the people there. Like the mob rules idea, you know? If you've been watching the Hong Kong protests or whatever other protest takes place, once somebody sees somebody do something, it's okay for me to do that something unless you've got that armor of God on and are focusing on what you need to do. Don't forget, when Satan left heaven, what happened? He took a third of the angels with him. Did you ever think about that in relation to what I'm saying right now? That influence that he had to deceive or scheme against a third of God's angels. Powerful beings that have given power by this greatest being of all. And they go with the bad one. One third. That's a good amount, folks, when you read about the numbers of angels out there. If he was able to get those spirit beings to think his way, what's he going to do with us? Okay? We don't have the powers that they have right now. Think about that for a minute and the battle that is being waged out here in the world today. Now, what this all comes to is wrong thinking. You know, these shootings, these suicides. And why does this wrong thinking happen? You've heard me say it already. I've let the cat out of the bag. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Beginning in verse 1, Ephesians 2, 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He's at work right now in the disobedient in the world, in the wicked in the world. It says he's at work, folks. And he's trying to influence others in that work. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. It says Satan has power. He lies in power over the evil one. I don't have time to get there, but read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 about Satan's power over the world. And looking back at Ephesians chapter 2, what does this power of the air mean? Because when you go to commentaries, there's a lot of back and forth about exactly what the power of the air means. Some of the thoughts are this, that it connects to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, which talks about Satan as the god of this world, that this power of the air relates to that scripture, that he's the god of this world in a sense. Others say that the power of the air is the environs of the earth, the atmosphere of the earth, that the demons and Satan move around in this earth, influencing the world in whatever ways that they can, that he rules the demons who operate in the earth's atmosphere, I read in another commentary. And here's a very interesting one. I did a little research this week on some commentaries back here in the library. I found this interesting one relating to that phrase, the prince of the power of the air. One commentary said this, the air as the spiritual atmosphere which pervades those who are disobedient. In other words, there's a sense in the Greek that the air around the disobedient can be influenced by these spiritual forces. In a sense, think of those blank stares and those faces on TV. Think of these lone, solitary people out there who think that they need to get into white supremacy or Nazism or Islamic terrorism or whatever it may be. A lot of those people are alone in the world, folks. They're seeking out something, and especially the young. I can remember when I was 18 getting into this kind of thinking and that kind of thinking, anarchy and this and that, society needs to change. Luckily for me at that time, I found out how society's really going to change, and I didn't get into any of those types of ideologies that are out there, but I can remember thinking about it at 16, 17, 18 years of age, folks, like some of these active shooters who have done what they have done. Now, I've got a little bit of time left. I just want to address a few other scriptures when we think of this power that we're up against. In Luke 4 and verse 6, it said God has allowed him to have this power. So no doubt about it, he's got it. And we know in Matthew, I'm not going to turn there, in Matthew chapter 4, when he's tempting Christ, when Christ is dealing with Satan before he starts his ministry, he offers him the kingdoms of this world. And Christ never says, you can't offer me that. You don't own the kingdoms of this world. Christ didn't say that, did he? He goes to the Bible to deal with Satan in that particular circumstance. The implication, of course, as other scriptures tell us, is Satan has the kingdoms of this world right now. He owns them. He's in control. And if he's got the kingdoms of this world, folks, how difficult is him to become the kingdom of someone's mind? By just putting an idea out there. He doesn't physically even have to be there. He can just put the thought out there into the mind of us. Now notice this, Luke 13. Luke 13, I do want to turn there. Luke 13 and verse 11. Luke 13 and 11. Listen to what it says here. Luke 13 and verse 11. Let me get there myself. On a Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled. She'd been crippled, get the language here, by a spirit for 18 years. She'd been physically crippled. This is what it says. I'm reading it from my Bible. A spirit physically altered her. Says for 18 years here. Now that's incredible when you think about it. Can spirits hurt us? Do spirits have the power over some illnesses? Notice, let's take a look at John chapter 10 and verse 20. And I'm not saying all illnesses, because some of the ancients thought that if you were sick, it was because of Satan, okay? That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm reading from my Bible right now, okay? John 10 and verse 20. John 10 and verse 20. Let me begin reading in verse 19. John 10 and verse 19. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" Now again, you've got different ways of putting these words in the Greek. Some commentaries from this particular scripture will tell you that Satan or demons have the power over the mind. They can alter your mind or make you raving mad. Okay? Again, not all people who are angry or having mental issues or depressed or whatever it may be, there definitely are biological, psychological reasons why people get depressed, are anxious, all kinds of things like that. But I'm putting out there the possibility that no doubt about it, the power of the evil one can influence our minds to do crazy things. No doubt about that. Don't ever forget that possibility. Now, there are other scriptures I can go to. I don't have time to get to them all, but I want to show you one in particular on this power that we're battling against. And it has to do with what I've been describing, all of these incidents of murders and suicides and all of this carnage I've been talking about. Notice in John chapter 8, I'm going to begin reading there in verse 34 and go to about 44. Listen to this little occurrence here, John chapter 8, 34. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free," there's where our freedom is, folks, "freedom over any power, you will be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's descendants. You are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." Now, he's talking to the religious authorities of his day, folks. Remember that. People who knew their Bibles. Jesus is telling them, God's not your father. Well, who is their father, folks? Let's read on. Here's what they said. We're not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. Can the devil influence people and give them his desire? I think so. And not only people who are out there and have no connection to God, folks. These were the religious authorities of the time. They knew their Bible. So I want you to get that armor on, folks. He can come for you. He can come for you. He was a murderer from the beginning. Interesting. When I found this scripture, I said, I got to use this in this sermon. He was a what from the beginning? A murderer from the beginning. Why? Why did that guy shoot into a field of thousands of people? Who could come up with a thought or an idea like that? That's crazy! That's mad! This guy had lots of money. He lived a life, had all these jobs, was a productive member of society. And he lost it for 11 minutes and went crazy. That just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. Or does it? I don't know the answer, folks. I'm just reading my Bible and pontificating about it here. Folks, I want you to understand that this is a real battle. When we say you've been baptized, have hands laid upon you, and you have God's Holy Spirit, yeah, you've got protection. But let me show you one more thing in John 13:27. John 13:27. Don't ever have the arrogance or the hubris to think you got it made. You're in the shade. I don't need to work at this. I'm baptized, converted. I'm good to go. The Bible says endure to the end. And John 13:27, I always think about this. John 13:27, as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Now I want you to get this. Who was Judas? Physically, he was someone with Jesus day in and day out. You get what I'm saying here? He was listening to the master tell him what was what. For years, he had this relationship with God. They were together. St. Judas was for this kingdom on earth, right? And what does it say here at the end? In Judas, Satan entered him. Do you believe your Bible? Do you believe your Bible? This power can enter you. He can enter that mind and take it over. Don't ever think you got it made. Put on that armor each and every day. Focus. Focus on the battle like you're a soldier in a war. Don't feel too easy. I knew a guy in my government work who went to El Salvador during the war there in the 80s. I didn't know him. I was told this story. And he used to jog up this hill every day, where the FMLN would be aware of him. And that was an insurgent group in El Salvador at the time that was fighting the government that the U.S. was supporting. And this guy would jog up this hill every day, and everybody knew he was an American. And people said, hey, you shouldn't be out in the open like that jogging. Maybe jog back on the compound or something like that. But this guy kept doing it. And one day he was killed by the FMLN. And, you know, that's something that I give to you, because sometimes the United States gets a little too arrogant out there. And we're backed up by the power of the United States, okay? The most powerful military force in the world, okay? But our soldiers are still getting blown up from time to time. And that same thing holds true with your spiritual battle. That it says to endure to the end. It says don't quit. Don't stop. Keep fighting, wrestling. You're wrestling with this other power. There is another power out there. Don't ever forget it. And it is a power. I think Vance is going to like this last statement I have to make. He likes Star Trek. And in Star Trek, you've heard of the Borg. Okay? And the Borg is kind of this amalgamum of forces that come together that can co-opt the technology and the knowledge of other alien species to bring them into their collective, to assimilate them and transform them from being individual beings into this collective that is called the Borg. When I think about that and think about Satan and his demons out there trying to influence our minds and take us into their collective, I wanted to give you that as a last example to think of. And my final scripture is over in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I'm going to go ahead and read this last one here to you. James chapter 4. Oh, those skinny pages. Okay, James chapter 4 and verse 7 says this. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Borg said, resistance is futile. I say, no, it is not, folks. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, because the power that's in you is greater than the power in the world.